Heaven's real.
That's right.
And we get a name because you preach on hell. We think you're mean, and if you're here tonight, you're not saved. I'm gonna tell you something. You're going to hell, man. You need to get saved.
Amen.
If you don't get saved, you're gonna go to hell. You hear me? You hear what I said? You're gonna go to hell if you don't get saved. And Daniel chapter 2, the Bible says in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith the spirit was troubled. And his spirit break from him, or his sleep break from him. And then the king commanded to call the magicians, astrologers, and sorcerers, and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. You know, you read about people in the Bible that had dreams and then interpretation dreams. Daniel said this. He said, God is the interpreter of dreams. Now, you can't trust dreams. You can't trust a dream at all. Some people say, well, I did this, I dreamed this, I dreamed that. You can't trust them. Bible says dreams come from a multitude of business. And when you're dreaming about something, when you're working on something, trying to get something done. But here, these dreams were, they were supernatural. They were supernatural dreams because God was getting ready to show the world what he's getting ready to do. And we were talking about kingdom this morning. And talking about king sitting on the throne, Jesus Christ being king. And if he's not king in your life and he's not running the throne inside and sitting on the throne. And it says this, then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream, then, and with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made a dunghill. This guy wasn't playing no games. And you say, well, he was just shooting off his mouth. This guy had the authority to do what he said he was going to do.
Right.
Nebuchadnezzar, he said, if you don't show me what I dreamed and the interpretation of it, then I'm going to cut you to pieces and make your house a dunghill. We're going to make your house a toilet. We're going to make your house a stinking outhouse. And man, you think they were in trouble. They were in trouble. And you know, it so happens that a guy that was a new God comes along and saved the day. And, you know, isn't it something how people, they always got all the answers. They know everything. They know, you know, you guys just graduated from high school. You might think, well, I know a lot, but you really don't know nothing about life yet. You don't know nothing about life. You're going to experience life. That's really thank God you graduated from school, and thank God you can read and write. Thank God for all that. But life is going to teach you. And you can go through the life as a hard head. And you can go through life as a, you know, trying to make things happen yourself, or you can go through life trusting God. And you go through life trusting God, saying, Lord, I want you to direct my life. I want you to help me. You'll come out on top every time. You'll come out on top. If you go through think I'm going to run my life, I know what I'm doing. Get out of my way, stupid. I know. Get out of my way. I know what I'm doing. You'll make a mess out of your life. And that goes for any of us sitting in here. And the Bible says this, and if you show me the dream, then the interpretation thereof, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards of great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. And they answered again and said, let the king tell his servant the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. And the king answered and said, I know the certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. And if you will not make known unto me the dream, and there is but one decree for you. And if you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed, therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. And the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there's not a man upon the earth. There's not a man upon the earth. But there was a man.
That's right, amen.
There was a man. God's always looking for a man. He's always looking for a woman that would stand in the gap. And the Bible tells us that in Ezekiel. He's looking for a man or a woman that will stand in the gap. People are dying and going to hell, and people need to hear the truth. And he's looking for somebody that would have enough guts. That little boy had a lot of guts, more than a lot of teenagers. That little boy got guts.
Amen.
Somebody will stand in the gap and tell people the truth and stand up and tell them how to get to heaven. Boy, that's a great thing. That's a great, great thing a young man can do. And you pray. I mean, like he said, the devil works on him. When you have to preach, man, and when you have to teach a Sunday school class, you got to do things like that, the devil's going to work on you and work on you. And as a Christian, he's going to work on you anyway. He's going, if you're trying to do something for God, he's going to work on you and try to defeat you. But if you're trying to preach and you're trying to witness, and isn't it something how when you go out, you go out on visitation, you go try to find somebody, it seems like the devil goes right before you trying to stop it. He tries to constantly try to detour people or get people off track, young people off track, try to mess them up and ruin their lives. And if you don't understand that as a young person, you're heading down the wrong road, man. You're going to head down the road to hard knocks. That's what you're going to learn. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. And if you're stupid, it's even harder. And some people are stupid when it comes to that. They're just stupid. They won't learn from the first time. They won't learn. They won't look at, say, God, I need your help. You know why I always tell God? I say, Lord, I'm stupid. I need your help.
Amen.
You say, you talk to God like that? Yeah, I talk to God like that. I say, Lord, I'm stupid. I need your help. That's not me. I'm pretty intelligent. Well, you go ahead, smarty pants, and see if you don't look stupid down the road. I like his little sayings. What was his little saying? Fraidy cat. I like that. And look here, verse 10. The reason why I'm reading this, I want to get down to something. It says the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, "There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king matter." And it says, therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that shall ask such thing of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. It is a rare thing. We was talking about spirits on Wednesday night. We talk about a spirit world. And we're in a spirit world. There's spirits around you all the time. And these guys, these astrologers and these magicians and all that stuff, they get into the spiritual realm of things. I had a friend of mine, we went to Bible school together. His name is Curtis DeBrell. And Curtis DeBrell, I was a gangbanger kind of thing up in, we used to run around Washington. Curtis was a commune kind of guy. He hung around the colleges and smoked dope and drank and did all that stuff. And he lived in a commune. He never worked a day in his life. And Curtis was a Jew. And Curtis never worked a day. And we were sitting around after he got saved. I went to Bible school down in Greenville, South Carolina. When I got down there, Linda said, "Guess who's here?" And I said, "Who?" She said, "Curtis." I didn't know him by Curtis. And Curtis DeBrell, he was a very intelligent guy. But Curtis DeBrell was at Bible school, same school I was going to go to. And I said, "I don't know no Curtis DeBrell." She said, "You know him? You know him. I used to walk by this guy that used to sit out in front of the big boys, and we spit on him. We spit on this guy. And this guy was always drugged up. He's living in a commune, and we walked by and kick him. He was out there sitting in front of the big boys selling drugs and all that stuff. And when we run at something, we get it from him. But any other time, he looked like me. This guy looked terrible, terrible. Long hair, beard. He tried to look like, he was just a freak. Just a freak-looking guy. And I knew him as Satch. That was his name on the street, Satch. And Linda said, "Satch, he's here." I couldn't believe it. And he came up to me and he said, "Alan?" He couldn't believe that I was there. And Curtis, any kind of drug, any kind of drug that you wanted, he would take it. He didn't care. He told me, he would go into this realm. He would get into a spiritual realm. I did drugs. I seen things here and there, but not that bad. Not like Curtis. He was doing LSD and all that stuff. And Curtis said this. He said, man, he was so messed up one night. He opened the curtains. These people were floating, looking at him. So he called the police. And he called the police. He said, "There are people outside my window. They're floating. They're looking at me. And they're saying stuff to me." The police came. And they walked around the building, and what it was, he was in a spiritual realm. He was in a place where he shouldn't have been. And Curtis said there's so many stories about just the drugs and stuff that he did. And it's a wonder he was alive. And God had mercy on him as well. But, man, these people that are in the spirit world, they get into astrology and magicians, they have some truth to it. The devil knows what's going to happen. He knows what he's going to do. He knows how, you know, when Jean Dixon, I said that the other night, when Jean Dixon went down, she went all the way down to Dallas trying to stop John F. Kennedy from going to Dallas and try to stop him from getting shot because she said he's going to get shot. Nobody believed her. And she went to Dallas trying to stop him. Why? The devil knows when something bad's going to come. Yeah. Why? If you're not here, you don't belong to God. And plus, if God turns you over to something, you said, will God turn his children over to something? Yep. Yes, he will. Say, is that in the Bible? Sure is. You keep living the way you want to live, like I was talking about God running the kingdom. You keep living what? God will turn you over to something. Let me show you that. Hold your place in Daniel. Hold your place in Daniel. Look in Corinthians. Look over in 1 Corinthians. Look what the Bible says. God will turn you over to something. And the Bible talks about a reprobate mind. But look at this. And 1 Corinthians chapter 5, look what it says. He says this. He said there's, verse 1, it is reported commonly there is fornication among you. And such fornication is not so much named as among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. Here's a guy messing around with his own father's wife. His father must have got remarried, and he's messing around with his father's wife. He said, you are puffed up and have rather not mourned, but he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath done this deed. He says, look what he says now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one on the who? Satan. Say, Lord, we're turning this guy over to the devil. Even though he's your child, he won't do right. We're turning him over. He said, to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Jesus, Lord Jesus. Man, brother, that is something. So these astrologers and stuff, they know something's going to come down. And they know that when death is coming for some people. And look at verse, back to Daniel chapter 2. Look at this, Daniel chapter 2. It says, it's a rare thing that the king required. That the astrologers, magicians, and everybody saying, this is a rare thing that the king required, that there is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh, spirits. For this cause, the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth. That means maybe God started killing, the people started killing them right there. Started killing them. And the word got out and they were being killed. It says the decree went forth from the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom, and go on down to verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes times and the seasons. He removeth kings, set up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. To reveal the deep and the secret things, he knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my father, who hath given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now that we desire of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went into to Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and showed thus unto him, destroying not all the wise men of Babylon, bring me before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Arioch brought into Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. And the king answered, said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which is which the king have demanded cannot the wise men. Daniel starts ribbing them. He makes fun of them. He starts ribbing and say, what's the matter? Can't they do it? Amen. See, everybody's got answers until trouble comes.
Right.
Everybody knows what to do until something happens.
Amen.
And Daniel's ribbing them. These are the same crowd and all the princes trying to get rid of Daniel, trying to kill him. Same crowd. He's helping them out. And it says, the king answered, said to Daniel, down verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, astrologers, and magicians, smoothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and make known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. It says, and he that revealeth secrets made known to thee, what shall come to pass. He gives God the credit. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sake that shall make known the interpretation to the king, that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. And that this great image, whose brightness and was excellent, stood before thee, and form thereof was terrible. And the image's head was of fine gold, and his breasts and his arms of silver, his belly and his thigh of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. That's the latter part. That's the feet. We're down to the legs of iron and his feet. Part of iron and part clay. And that those 10 kings, the toes, are going to be revealed in the tribulation. We're down to the legs right now. This interpretation, this dream, this image is for four kingdoms. We're in the last kingdom right now. We're in the last part of it. Thou sawest till the stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, and that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay and the brass and the silver and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Check that out. This thing became a great mountain, filled the whole earth. Somebody was just telling me the other day, I mean, we talk about the mountains. Where'd they come from? How did the mountains come out? How did that stuff happen? Somebody told me the other day in Japan, I think it was Brother Randy, he said, you know, Japan, what they've done, their mountains, their island is small. They've been 24 hours a day for the past 3-4 years. They've been cutting the mountains down, and they got a conveyor belt that runs out to the sea. They're making their island bigger. He said they've already added 7 miles to their island by cutting the mountains down. But this thing here, the Bible says, whatever is going to come up is going to make a great mountain, is going to fill the whole earth. It says, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art the king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom. Notice that kingdom. And power and strength and glory. Wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven hath he given into thy hand, and have made thee ruler over them all. Thou art his head, this head of gold. So Nebuchadnezzar, he was the king over all the known world. The king over all the known world, Nebuchadnezzar. And then the Bible says, after there thee shall rise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over the earth. And it says, and goes on, I skipped one here somewhere. It says in the verse 40, the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces, subdueth all things. As iron that breaketh all these shall be it break in pieces and bruise. Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, and part of the potter's clay, and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, And as the toes and the feet were part iron and part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. That's Rome. Partly strong, partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. There's something right there. Somebody mixing iron and clay with the seed of men. Almost sounds like, Genesis 6, yeah. It is Genesis 6. You say, what happened in Genesis 6? The angels came down and mixed with women and had children. And right now you see all the movies. They've got a guy, you've got robots, you've got part men, part iron. Sci-fi. And it says, in the days of these kings, God shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Notice this. Which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. You know what I'm reading? I'm reading about us being on the winning side.
Yep.
God's kingdom, nobody be able to mess with it.
That's right.
Yep.
Nobody be able to destroy it. And then it says, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it break in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, and the silver, and the gold, and that great God that made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream of is certain in the interpretation thereof. And look what King Nebuchadnezzar does. And then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel. They said that's where Daniel messed up. Daniel shouldn't have stopped, but you ain't going to stop the king from worshiping. He started worshiping Daniel. It commanded that they should offer oblation and sweet odors on him. And the king answered on the Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is the God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man. So on. Well, I want you to see that thing where it says that God's kingdom is going to be over all kingdoms. And God's kingdom is, you say, that's in scripture. All the way through the Bible, I was going to have you tonight, if the boys didn't preach and all that, I was going to have you give me some scripture in the Old Testament on the second coming of Jesus Christ, on the second coming. There's a lot of scripture in the Old Testament on the second coming of Jesus. But we'll do that another time. But here, that's what I wanted you to see about the kingdoms. And Jesus Christ is, he doesn't have his rightful place yet. He's not King of Kings and Lord of Lords yet, unless he's King of Kings in your life. If he's King of Kings in your life, he's got his rightful place in your life. But on this earth yet, he doesn't have his rightful place. His rightful place, and that's what we'd be praying for, praying the Lord come back. Love his appearing and say, Lord, we want you to have your rightful place. This world is a wicked place. This world hates Jesus Christ. And they want to get rid of Christianity. They want to get rid of the Bible. Right. They want to get rid of any. That's why publishers made all these new Bibles. They do away with it, do away with it, and do away. Right. Before long, it just becomes Newsweek. That's all it is. They hate the Word of God. Amen. People hate God, hate the Word of God. And they said, why did God do this? Why did God do that? And, you know, they always have a question. Why? They never question, you know, their own decisions. In life, they always question God. Amen. It's always God's fault, not theirs, but always God's. So when it comes down to it, you're better off siding with God.
Amen.
In everything. Side, be on his side. I side with the Lord. He's righteous. He's holy. Amen. He's going to do what's right. And the Bible says, shall not the God of all the earth do right?
Amen.
God's going to do right, and whether you do right or not,
Amen.
God's going to do right. He'll do right by you if you'll just do right. And matter of fact, he'll do right by you even when you don't do right. He'll do right. You know what? If truth be known, everybody in this room, we all deserve to be in hell. I know I do. I deserve to be in hell. And thank God his mercy. Thank God. And God is a righteous God. But see, the thing about it, what I was telling you, when he said, turn such a one over to Satan, what the Bible says, for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit might be saved in the day of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, you don't play with him. Amen. You don't play. You don't. That's like playing Russian roulette. I had a friend of mine, a couple guys I know. We took guns and got pulled a bullet and spin that thing, see who was chicken. And one friend of mine took that thing and spun it, and he had five kids. Put it to his head. He was drunk. Put a bullet in there and spun it. Said, "Come on, man!" Everybody sitting around the room. "Come on, man!" Spin it. He put it in there. It's called Russian roulette. He stuck it to his head. Blew his head off. Five kids. And just stupid. Just stupid. Amen. My God, man, don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. Trust God. Amen. Let him.